everybody to the Wednesday night Oceano Community Services District Board meeting, June 24th. Can I ask Karen White? Oh, one moment. Let's do roll call first. Sorry.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you, Celia. Okay. How are we doing back there, AGP? We're getting a feedback.
It's the fire trucks getting
finished. Okay. Let's ask Director White for a roll call. Flight salute. I can't talk tonight.
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Karen. All right. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add or delete from the agenda tonight?
I don't think so, unless our manager does.
Hearing none, we're going to move forward.
Jeff moved forward. Is there anything, Mr. Minery?
Mr. Minery.
Okay.
And Mr. Ogren, can I ask you to turn your mic on, please?
Well, I'll move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? It passes. Let's roll. Public comment for items that are not on the agenda tonight. If somebody would like to close that side door, it won't interfere with any public comment. So these are for items that are not on the agenda.
I came prepared for public comment tonight.
Good evening, Mrs. Austin.
Good evening.
Guyton.
My name is Linda Austin, and I am a lifelong Oceano resident. I've prepared some comments tonight that things that have come to light with the meetings in the last few months and things, and I may go over my time, and so I'm hoping that you'll give me that, if we may, so I can finish what I have to say. So what I want to talk about tonight is the lack of respect that is being shown to this board and this community of Oceano by a few people that think of themselves as activists and government watchdogs. I've lived in this community my whole life, been here 62 years. I've attended these meetings since the beginning wherever I could. I've lived through and I've seen all the ups and downs this community has gone through, and I am very proud of where we are today. When I attend meetings, I have to sit right in front in the front row because I do this so I can hear what you are saying. The heckling, laughing, whispering, making fun of what the board members are saying going on in the back of this room, coming from people that are not residents of this community. They have no interest in this community other than to disrupt these meetings. And it makes it impossible sometimes to follow what's going on in this room. A good example is the meeting a while back when I asked to give public comment on an item that had already been finished. You'd already voted on, but I got lost in all the goings-on around the room. So you graciously allowed me to speak. So at the next meeting, there was one of the people made a special trip here, I believe, just to berate you for allowing me to speak. An Oceano resident who I hardly ever speak. I hardly get up. But you get blasted for it, for doing something you would do for any other resident of this community if you were asked to. So, you know, it's just I'm tired of all the petty antics of these people who make public record requests on wild goose chases that cost this district time and money, and this is all in the name of transparency or, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, and all that stuff, make it perfect. So in the name of transparency, I would like to know, I'd like to see it go both ways. Like, what is your interest in this community? What is your purpose? I've never known anyone anywhere who has spent so much time in another community berating them over and over again. It's just unheard of. And it casts such a pall over this room during meetings that, you know, it's just the negativity just swallows us up. And when there's no one here, then it's like a jovial, like a celebration, and everything gets done, and the work of the board gets done. And then now I want to talk about the sanitation district. At the last sanitation district meeting I attended, I sat through a downright rude, nasty heckling of our board president, Mary Lucy. She tried to address that board from the podium. And even joining in this was an elected Arroyo Grande city councilman who laughed at Mary. He shook his head, turned back to the others, and they all had a big joke. They made fun of everything she had to say, and she was sincerely speaking to that board. In fact, she was telling them they needed to take care of their board members there and not allow all that negativity to go on that's been going on over there also. So, you know, to all these people that make fun of Mary, I want to tell you something about Mary Lucy. So the first time I met her, I was working down at the Triangle Park. And her and Nancy drove up and asked if it would be, is it okay if we can help you pull weeds and keep this park clean? That's never happened to me before when I've been down at the Triangle Park. And then she explained to me how she'd recently bought a house in Oceano. They wanted to get involved in the community. And they wanted to help. They loved this town. So the next time I saw her, she was carrying furniture up the dock of the depot, donating it to our flea market we were holding. She attended all the OCSD board meetings back then, and when the Oceano Improvement Association was still active, her and Nancy came to our barbecues. They donated items for the raffles. They did all they could to support the community. So she ran for this board. She was elected in an election, and she won that election. And she didn't do it once. She's done it twice. She's been elected to this board twice. She supports every function and event held at the depot. She is vested in this community. She loves this community. So all I have to say to all these people that we see, unfortunately they're not all here tonight because I would love to say it to them, but all those people that are better than us, they're better than thou people, they get in a tither because sometimes Mary mixes up her words a little bit and doesn't say things just precisely the way they like them said. All I can say to you self-righteous people is just sit on it. Just sit on it. We're sick of it. We're just sick of it. So now I'm speaking of Mary Lucy. I want to talk about the other board members on this board. That, you know, a lot of things are said about them, too. Lori Angelo, for instance, she's been involved in this community for decades. She was youth football. She was a big board member of the Boys and Girls Club when it started. Oceano Improvement Association through many, many years. The Oceano Advisory Council. The Oceano Depot. Everything in this community Lori has been involved in. She does it out of a love for this community also. And Karen White, she's lived her whole life here. Her involvement and love of this Oceano Halcyon community is it's a matter of record. Everyone knows her. She is a respected member of this board. She brings great knowledge and service to this community. She cares about this place. She supports all the events. They all care. Like Jennifer and Matt, I haven't known as long as the others, but I know them as Oceano residents. They have a great commitment to this community. They support this community. They give the time out of their busy lives to serve this town. I've become friends with them, I hope. I value their friendship and appreciate all they do in helping shape the direction of this town. So I just want to say every one of these board members is dedicated to this community. They do this job out of a love for this community. And I do not think they deserve the treatment that they are getting from outsiders that come to this town. I want to talk about our staff. We have the friendly guys we see out on the streets, the guys in the trucks. I love seeing them out on the streets of Oceano. They're out doing their job. They're always professional. I'm so proud when I see them out there. They're friendly. They're courteous. I mean, I can't say enough. The office staff is the same thing. They're always helpful. They're always professional. You know, it's a pleasure to come into this office. One day I called here. There were some ducklings that had fallen through the grate in front of our office. And I didn't know who. I just didn't know what to do. The mother was going crazy on the sidewalk, so I called OCSD and see what they could do. And so Mario answered the phone. He says, well, I'll send Tony out there. So Tony came right out. He lifted the grate. He rescued all those little babies and put them back with their mother. You know, I didn't hear, that's not our job. You're going to have to call animal services. You know, that's part of this community, helping this things in this community. That's how it is in Oceano. That's what we do here. So we have a general manager now with there's more qualifications than I can talk about. And since day one, he's worked very hard to bring Oceano into the fold as an equal partner in all these five cities' communities. And we're going to be talking about our balanced budget. So I want to thank Pavel for what he's done to bring the sense of pride back into this town. And it's that sense of community that's always been here. And it seems that some people have a problem with that. You'll read about if we're friends with people, oh, they're the good old boys, or they're good friends, so yeah, no wonder they're all in this together, they're in the bed together, you know. It's like if being friends and having friends and knowing friends for a long time, it's a bad thing. You know, what's wrong with having lifelong friends or new friends that you think, that you feel like you've known all your life? What's wrong with being friends with people? What's wrong with being nice? Why can't everyone just be nice, you know? Why is they do they feel there's always an ulterior motive? Oh, well, that Linda, yeah, she's been running. You know, you always hear that stuff. It's just ridiculous. It's not how it is here. So, you know, I've heard all the jokes about Oceano. I've heard all the insults that's heaped on this community over the years. I don't have time to relay all of them here now. And Mary was belittled for saying the children of this community had suffered from comments made about the sewer plant, etc., in this negative things about the community that other people see, that we don't see. She was talking about stories that I relayed to her, stories from the past that happened to me when I was a young person growing up in Oceano. But that's the past. And I don't, all those things did was set our resolve to work harder and make this town the best little town it can be. And you can see how it is now from what we have going on here. You know, we don't want to be anyone else. We don't try to be anyone else. We just want to be Oceano and do what we do here. And what I see happening now is strong. Oceano is strong. We're not the doormat. We're not the underdog, as we were recently called. I don't think of our town as an underdog. I don't know. You know, I don't. We're proud. People in Oceano, you talk to anybody uptown, they'll tell you. They've lived here. You know, my grandfather, this one, they're all proud of it. There's been generations and generations of families that still live in this community. And I got carried away there, but I also wanted to put in that we're not the city where I think you've probably all heard, we're not where the debris meets the sea. We're not where the sewer meets the sea that we've been called. We have survived all these attempts to bring us down, get us out of the way, all that stuff. We've gone through all that. So now what we have going on in the last few months is the divide and conquer strategy that has happened here in the past with other board members. Divide and conquer. Another way to come around and bring Oceano down. But I can tell you with no uncertainty that that is not going to work. It's not going to work. Because I have every faith in this board and the leadership that we have here. And I think that'll put the kibosh to all the attempts to bring this town down again. It is as if, from what I hear, it's like they're thinking, doesn't Oceano know their place? Don't they know who they are? What, you know, how dare them come out from under all these labels we put on them and make themselves better and ask to have their bills paid? How dare Oceano act like that, you know? Well, how dare them try to take us down? Because it's been tried before. So, like I said before, if the residents of Oceano are not happy with you, this board, this district, they would be here. Do not underestimate the people in this town. This community is full of people, hardworking people, generations, like I said before, families call Oceano home. The elementary school that I went to all through till I was the last eighth grade graduating class before unification, it's one of the best, if not the best. You know, this town comes together when necessary, so if there's a problem, the residents know how, they know how to come here and let you know. They're not the poor little people that need someone to come speak for them and help them. They know what to do, and so you don't see them here. You know, so everybody knows about our little real estate office down on Lakeside. It's been there for many, many years. It's a place where people come. They stop in all the time, share the news of the day. They come to complain about something, or you need to call this guy, you need to do this, shoot the breeze, get the latest Tide book. Now, it's also where people that coming, they see a real estate office and they say, I want to look, you know, what's the property like around here? And they say, we were told, you don't want to go down there. You don't want to go. We thought we'd look anyway. What a jewel you have here. This is a beautiful place. You know, they all want to come back, and they do, and they buy property here. And so all that negative stuff, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother us. We don't care anymore about it because we know better. We know what we have here in this town. We all we hear from the people that stop by that office is how happy they are, that, you know, they're happy with this district, they're happy the way it's going. So I just want to give a big thank you to every one of you in this room that is working so hard to make this town the little jewel that we all know it is. And I'm going to go home now because I'm not feeling well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
I think that everybody needs to hear once in a while the good things that all of us come together and do, and thank you very much for coming out tonight. Is anybody else who'd like to speak? Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I really didn't have anything for public comment for items not on the agenda, but was somewhat inspired by Mrs. Austin's 10-minute speech. And all I've ever done when I've come to Oceano is look for fairness and equality in how you treat the people, all people, whether they live here or not. I do business here. I have clients here. We work here. And if you recall, I dogged some previous general managers who got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. I knew they were stealing before you knew they were stealing. You thanked me. But you don't thank me anymore for asking hard questions that even Paavo Ogren, the great white knight, has to answer. These are questions that are reasonable. I'm not asking for anything unusual. And if I'm not understanding what's happening, certainly much of your community is not understanding either. And we'll get into the details, I hope, if I'm allowed to speak tonight, because I clearly wasn't allowed to speak 2 weeks ago. But it's okay for Mrs. Austin to have 10 minutes of history. It's refreshing. It's interesting. But defending President Lucy, when some of what she says is completely inaccurate about Oceano, about the relationships at the sanitation district, complete false things that you've said about me and Mr. Edwards and why we do
Ms.
or what
Tucker,
we... I can say whatever I want here, ma'am.
You cannot attack people on a personal
level. As a matter of fact, I can. The Brown Act protects me. But you can attack me? I don't understand that. I can't attack you, but you can attack me.
No, you can't attack me.
Well, you're attacking me, ma'am. And the Brown Act allows me to say
Ms. Tacker,
pretty
please
much
keep your
whatever
comments.
I want.
And President Lucy,
Austin
President Lucy, I would remind Ms. Tacker to keep her comments within matters that are within the jurisdiction of the board.
And the behavior of the president is within the jurisdiction of the board. So, I'm not going to go into the details that Mrs. Austin was alluding to, but Mary doesn't always say accurate things. So when she says we own one-third of the sanitation district, she's mistaken. And it's okay for the public to correct her. And a lot of people grow up in towns that have sewer plants. But you are not going to be compensated financially through an agreement for billing, which is what you were alluding to, is that somehow your district needs to be compensated financially for having the plant in that location. How it got there would be a very interesting story, I think you might find. But it doesn't. Somebody paid for the land. It didn't just magically appear. Yes.
I'm going to take the opportunity, the chair, and ask you exactly what is it that you want from Oceano. I mean, you've taken up 5 years of our time, and so I think it's only a fair question to ask you, what do you want from the people of Oceano?
From the board?
No. What do you want from the community of Oceano?
I'm an activist, ma'am, and I go wherever I want. And I go far and wide. I go to state.
Yeah, an activist has a population that they advocate on behalf of. What do you want?
I want fair and equal treatment for this community. That's why I come. I don't like to see their money wasted, and I've seen a lot of waste in this district. So I'm here again every 2 weeks asking hard questions that I seldom get answers to. Anything else, ma'am?
No, I think you've answered it all for us, that you really don't have anything except for to take your hostility out on us. So thank you very much.
And I'll reserve my next 7 minutes for later in the evening, since you allowed Mrs. Austin to speak for 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. So besides that, was there any other special presentations?
Those two.
Okay. And I see that we don't have representation from the Sheriff's Department tonight. And Mr. Maricino, I would take it, is probably out in the field or...
He's at a training session. He'll be here a little bit later in case there's any discussion on item 10A.
Great. And Karen, do you just want to give a brief overview of the five cities? I know that they've been through a lot lately and a hard time getting budgets through and stuff, so I have to applaud them.
Well, the most recent thing they were involved in is the Parkfield fire. Mm-hmm. They were up there, took the brush truck up there for 24 hours, were sent home to sleep in their own beds for about 8, and went back these... Well, it would be the second day and a half or whatever it was to help with the mop-ups, to keep the hot spots from starting that fire all over again. So they were a part of the county team, responded very early, and were on the line for 24 hours. And when that happens, we backfill with our reserves and call in off-duty firefighters. And how that works is the state of California, because it was a state fire, they compensate the Five Cities Fire Authority. We pay our people their normal wages, salaries, and they compensate the Five Cities Fire Authority, just so people know. And nobody was hurt, and the fire truck wasn't scratched.
Okay. Yes. Well, would you thank the guys in the department
yeah.
for us?
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate it.
We've had a lot of calls, and I might also say that everybody's ready for the 4th of July weekend, which is really kind of scary this year.
Well, we'll take it one firecracker at a time.
Weed whack, weed whack.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to weed whack. Maybe put sprinklers on their roofs if they need to.
And they don't really need to send off so many bottle rockets, please.
Okay, so outside committees. Let's start with Mr. Guerrero.
I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday. It
still intact?
Defeat is trying to be snatched from the jaws of victory, but it is still intact.
Yeah, seems like a natural target lately.
I don't know if it's natural or manufactured, but it is a target. There was a number of items. The first was approval of the work plan for the Knudsen investigation. And so that was approved, multi-step process. There was an issue regarding the debit card, which was being used. It showed up in the audit. Back in 2013, our board said get a credit card and get rid of the debit cards, but it had not been done. And so it popped up in the audit, and there was a number of charges that were done. Third important item, the request for proposals for district legal counsel, with Mike Seitz resigning, with his firm resigning after over 50 years of representation. There is a request out. We're currently represented by interim counsel out of Santa Barbara. Received the audit, approved it. It was kind of late this year, but we did get it in. There's a bids out for workers' comp, and because the workers' comp is due next Wednesday, that's when the new renewal period is. We authorized the manager, upon receiving the lowest bid, to go ahead and sign the lowest bid. We don't know what that is yet. Or I don't know what that is yet. And then also, contentiously, the Oceano bill for the second half of the billing, pursuant to the agreement that was entered into in 2013, was paid. But there is no agreement going forward. So the sanitation district declined, and so obviously this district will have to decide whether or not it continues to bill. With no agreement, it was a very unfortunate discussion, the bill was paid. So at the next meeting, I believe we're going to have a discussion on decorum. The since November, the decorum has just been lost at the sanitation district. It's been incredibly nasty. Normally, before I go there, I warm up with a root canal. And
so
ask for extra. Anyway, go ahead.
So you know, Oceano has been involved in that plant mm-hmm. and the function of that plant since day one. And so, and plus,
well, since,
not
yeah.
to mention it's housed in Oceano
sure.
for people who don't realize that. And so there has been this divisive, destructive mm-hmm. element that has moved in on that entity. And so I have to wonder why is there so much effort being put into destroying those relationships? Why is the Sand District the one that's been targeted to move on in the future? And I actually heard one person request that the feasibility study be, you know, held back and that, you know, moving forward was suggested to just wait for a while. And I'm not quite sure we have that that luxury of moving forward in the middle of a drought. I mean, we can only go forward. And so do you have any suggestions on that, Matt? Because it's in a bad state. The morale is tore down.
Right.
The hostility is just beyond. You don't want to.
And it's all new. I don't know. I mean, I could.
And what's the function? I mean, what's the purpose?
I'd be guessing at what the motivation is behind it. There's clearly, you know, some motivation. There's some coordination that goes on in order to, you know, come in and it's become, you know, it's become kind of a I don't want to say a joke, but you know, there's definitely a mention. I wonder what the drama is going to be tonight. You know, try to catch it off guard. And unfortunately, the business of the sanitation district is getting lost in that. And what we really need to be doing is focusing on compliance. We need to be focusing on moving forward with our protecting our resources, which is recycled water. That is getting lost. Mr. Sweet's time is getting usurped into these dramas and issues that you know, may have some merit, but you know, suddenly everything is urgent, 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 now. And you know, we haven't talked about recycled water.
Recycled. 3 months.
It's been this year, but I couldn't tell you the date. It's
yeah.
been this year, and so it's really unfortunate that this energy is getting developed. It's you know, it's always something, and it always seems to be directed at Oceano.
Yeah.
Remember, for years, people would send alternates, and suddenly it's illegal. And and you know, and Mr. Brown from the Roy Grandy pounded on the podium about how he wasn't named the podium; he was at the dais that night. Pounded on the dais about how insulted he was that this was going on. And Roy Grandy did it for years. Grover Beach did it for years. I mean, this is just the way that things. Oceano has done it in the past, and so anyway, we got a Best and Krieger opinion. They're a law firm, statewide law firm. They came back and said, "There's no issue. This is fine the way that you guys are handling and conducting business." And so that's just again one example, such as again the billing that we addressed this week. Another example of a manufactured issue, where there need not have been manufacture, where consensus could have been easily drawn without making it personal, without taking shots at organizations, that it just could have and should have been handled entirely differently. So, what the motivation is, I'm not going to speculate.
Headlines.
From the dais. Pardon?
Headlines.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, just keep it on the forefront of our agenda.
Yeah, and I'd just like to encourage the people to come and to remember that what we're trying to do is protect resources, be in compliance with our discharge permits, and bring it in within budget, and go forward with our redundancy and these other issues that really ought to be the focus of the district rather than drama. And
yeah.
I have a question for Matt, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I was curious about the contract. Is the district interested in moving forward with negotiations for billing services, or are they going to go a different direction?
I think so.
Okay.
Mayor Scholes asked that the Oceano you know, consider to continue billing and to be, I don't remember what his exact term was now, but that Mayor Scholl's asked that Oceana be of assistance in the continued billing and working with the sanitation plant. It puts Oceano in a difficult spot because there's no if you believe that there's no contract, then there's no contract with anybody. And so, of course, you know, this the people that believe that there was no contract weren't there at the time and didn't hear the discussions that were had in public. And then, obviously, the general manager was sent to speak, the district administrator was sent to speak with the general manager. This was brought back and then reported to the board. I don't know why it doesn't show up or whether it shows up in the minutes. But everybody moved forward with certain understandings, and those and the billing since then have been consistent. So, you know, it's going to be up to this board and this general manager here at Oceana whether or not the billings will continue. You know, because if we did bill and then they come back and they, with the same attitude that was displayed last Wednesday, that, well, you're not entitled to anything, then Oceana would have been gifting, the Oceana
tax
residents
money.
Would have been gifting ratepayer money, right? And so.
So, Director Guerrero, so normally the sanitation district meets on the first and the third Wednesdays
correct.
Of the month. And are they scheduled to meet on July 1st?
Yes.
Because the offer and notice that your board provided is still valid through the next board meeting as well. Just they chose to make the payment of $11,000, but the notice and offer said that the response needed to be provided by July 1st, which means that they still have the July 1st meeting. Subsequent to the meeting, then legal counsel Minnery is going to be talking with their legal counsel as well in order to make sure that both parties are aware of the legal status that will exist essentially come July 2nd.
And I also, too, think this, that there's this this retaliatory attitude about paying Oceano for the services that we provided. And for 10 years, Oceano has been, you know, basically providing those services at a tremendously, you know, low cost. And so, unfortunately, you know, we're put in this light of how dare you ask for what's fair. You know, it goes back to, you know, this oppressive attitude of being properly compensated for Oceano's efforts, almost like it's expected for us to be giving the services away for free. Somebody pays for the staff, somebody pays for the mail house, somebody pays for the postage. So, you know, it's been the residents of Oceano that have been paying those in the Sand District, you know.
Mayor Scholl's put it well. He said, you know, Oceano submitted this bill having billed for the services in good faith.
Yeah.
And so when Oceano did the billing and did do the billing in good faith, believing that it would be remunerated in these certain amounts, and then so.
But what was really telling to me is that there was several people from the audience, Ms. Tacker and Ms. Spencer and others who were, you know, screaming for the board to pull paying Oceano for those billing services from the warrants, but still Grover Beach's billing services
right.
were on the same warrant, and there was no mention of that, which tells me, okay, this is a retaliatory act against Oceano. And so...
there's a disruption in the back.
I can't hear in the back of the room.
From the public, there was no comment. And unfortunately, Mr. Scholl's called it before I could.
Exactly. Mr. Scholl said it's not right to not pay Oceano and right. pay Grover Beach. Either pull them both, but don't pull one and not the other.
Right.
You know, so for Grover to see that, you know, it's not as hidden as some people lead to believe. It's blatant,
And you know, again, I said last week, and I'll say, or excuse me, last meeting, and I'll say it again this meeting, that the people who are losing are our ratepayers.
Yep.
That the $11,000, the billing is being eaten up in staff time, in legal fees, in the uncertainty, and those are the people that are losing. And if I'll hold my commentary, but those are the people that are losing. And to the ratepayers, on behalf of those boards, I apologize.
I just think that it's us doing our job when we ask to be properly compensated for services. There's no reason this community should have to, you know.
In the agreed upon amount, there was no surprises. There was no surprise.
No, it wasn't a surprise at all. It was clear as day. So we'll keep that on the agenda. Karen,
thank you.
You already did.
Yeah, well, I've got
okay.
a couple. The first is the Five Cities Fire Authority will celebrate its fifth birthday at the July 19th meeting.
Awesome.
Apparently, we're going to have a cake. At fire, you can take it over to fire station number 2 after the meeting. The meeting will deal with...
July 19th is a Sunday.
July the 3rd, July
17th. 17th?
17th.
Okay.
Sorry, I looked at the wrong
map. I'm going to put that in my calendar.
Yeah. Anyway, the 3rd Friday of July. At our regular meeting is at 10 a.m. And we will deal with the final hearing on the abatement of the weeds and brush and debris and properties. And we passed the budget at the last meeting, and I think that's everybody's heard enough about that. The other thing is the Feline Network of the Central Coast is a group that deals with cat overpopulation, and they have begun working in Oceano with, they only work with people who are willing to work with them, and at one piece of property they trapped 32 cats. Now, the approach they have is if you have a cat problem, they trap the cats, they spay and neuter the cats, they make sure they're healthy, give them rabies shots, give them all their shots, clip the top of one ear, and then release the cats into the same neighborhood. These are feral and wild cats. They aren't... The reason they do that is the cats are safer in that area, and I'll guarantee you we want some cats to control the rats and mice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why Roy Grandy established a cat. They were going to trap all the cats and then, wait a minute, we need our feral cats. When there's kittens involved, they trap the kittens, they tame them. They have volunteers, of which I was one. They take the babies, they train them and gentle them. And then they neuter and spay them and offer them for adoption. So you can get at a pretty nominal rate a baby kitten. They recommend 2.
Which from will your house.
Which will tear your house up. They're dealing with overpopulation. And their statistics figuring 2 to 3 litters of kittens per year, averaging 2.8. One female cat can produce 11,801 cats in 5 years. So it's something, you know, people need to spay and neuter their cats. They also help with some spay and neutering and dealing with other cat problems. I will put the brochures in the office here at Oceano Community Services District. They also are establishing a feeding location for those. They do is they trap the cats, neuter them, and then put a feeding, volunteers come feed the cats so that they don't get in. The whole thing is if you get a lot of wild cats, you're going to have fleas, you could have rabies, you could have distemper, there's all kinds of cat, whatever it is, it's like distemper. But it also controls diseases. Not only does it benefit the community for rat and mice control, but it also benefits the cats. Anyway.
Great. Thank you, Karen.
That's my other... And Jennifer, you're going to do the advisory?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Blackburn. Mrs.
All right. Well, on Monday was the Oceano Advisory Council. We had Ms. Bellman from State Parks and Mike Benz from Cooper Chase Construction there to let us know that they are doing construction at the Oceano Campground starting on June 29th, and then for 3 weeks after that, they'll be inserting pier pilings, which will not be put down by force like normal pilings. They're doing aggregate piers, which will use a vibration, so it should be less disruptive to the neighbors, but they are letting community members know nearby just what's going on, and if they have questions, who to contact, so that you know that that is going to be happening if you hear something or feel a little bit of something. That's what it is.
And so when do they expect the visiting center to be back open on Pier Street?
They said that they will probably be done by the end of the year.
Okay.
Hopefully a little bit before the end of the year, but definitely not before summer.
So. Much larger project than I thought it was going to be.
Yep, they're redoing the driveway and
the whole street.
Yeah, the whole
ADA
area.
ADA. 80 plus camps closed.
Yeah.
Old campgrounds closed.
Yes. We did have a vacation rental that is being built. We made comments about parking not being on street and being only on the property. And then there was also possibly a new Verizon cell tower that's going in. And we actually gave no comment on that. We didn't have any opinions. And we also looked at a mobile home or a manufactured home that's going in on Paso Robles, which the owner and his representative came, and the pictures that they brought looked nice. They said it was going to be on a pier foundation, and it's not on wheels, so it'll be nice.
So they're removing the axles?
I don't know that question got asked specifically, and I'm not sure how it
works. Have to remove the axles if you're going to take it off the... If you're not going to call it a mobile home anymore, you have to take that axle off. Okay. Right now there's, I think, 4 tires each side. Yeah.
I do know it won't have wheels, but we also will be discussing it again at our next meeting in July.
And it's going to be on pier and post?
Yes.
Yes.
Pier what?
And post.
Oh, pier and post. I thought you were talking about Pier Avenue. Like, what? Okay.
So that's all I have, though.
Okay. So that's coming back before your body?
Yes, it should on July. Our meeting in July. Is that the 4th?
The
27th
eighth
of July.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other committees that you attended? Or
we did have a finance meeting, but we'll be discussing that tonight.
22nd.
Okay.
Said the 12th.
Lori?
I attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Which one?
Sorry? Airport Land Use.
Ooh.
Basically, it was a continuation for the San Luis Ranch area that's going to be developed behind Target in San Luis, and they were talking about the actual construction phases of it, where the denser parts of the homes are going to be compared to where the end of the runway is to maximize less noise and how they're going to be done. It's still a progress in work, and that was really the only subject they touched on. And they gave a really nice presentation and get a pretty good idea what's going on over there. That was the only thing that was on the agenda that they talked about.
Great. So there's no changes to the Oceano Airport?
No. I have gotten some information I'm going to investigate into just in general. With the help of Pablo, I asked him about some information regarding that. So I have a bunch of paperwork I'm going to go through and look at and see what exactly, how we could make that airport a better, friendlier situation than what it is now. Like today, for 3 hours, the biplane buzz the houses. And, I mean, you can't even talk on the phone. Doors are closed, TV's on. You still can't talk on the phone because he's so loud. And, you know, it's his business, I understand. But, man, I'll tell you, there's been a few times he's come down pretty darn low, and it's a little spooky. But other than that, the airport has very little use, except for on like a big weekend or something. But I think there, I would like to look into it to see what we can do to improve it or make it a better...
better use space.
Better neighbor and better use, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of... I want to get into it and see what's going on.
Great. Well, let's see. I attended the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting with Karen. Not with you, but just to see the budget and how the budget was going through the system. And I have to say is that I really feel for the Fire Authority to have to go to three different boards to get their annual budget passed. So I think I'm going to start looking at the policies and talking to Karen and of course, Mr. Ogren to see if next year we can maybe somehow put it, the Fire Authority to have control over their budgets and not necessarily have to go and beg to three different bodies.
That makes sense. South Slow CSD
market it
doesn't have to. Right.
It just seemed like such a waste of good staff time. And it's very stressful, and I think it really kind of messes with the morale of people when you have to constantly justify your budgets. And so let the Fire Authority tell us, you know, after it's over with. So
I think that's the way that South Slow CSD works as well. Obviously, the funding sources are different, but
right.
We already have representation, and each entity has representation on their board through their representative. So
that's right. I attended the South County Sanitation District meeting. Extremely hostile environment. The review committee who looked at the best past practices has turned into something entirely different, and I'm not seeing the value at this point. I was somewhat disturbed that the board allowed their staff to be verbally abused to the degree that they were being abused. That was extremely scary to me. I don't think that anybody deserves to be treated in that way, and certainly not called on it. So it wasn't a very pleasant meeting, and I have to really applaud Matt for going through that twice a month, you know. Just the level of animosity and what is the true intent of people's anger that bubbles up in that room. Where is that coming from? Because I certainly don't think it's the fault of a sanitation department, all that hostility. And it's just a weird behavior that I've never seen before in that kind of environment. And then I attended, I met with Supervisor Lynn Compton on Thursday. For the people who don't know, this supervisor does hold meetings with individuals on Thursday over at the South County Sheriff's Department. I strongly encourage you to make an appointment. Go over there and meet your supervisor. I think she searches for things to look at and pay attention to in Oceano. Oceano, of course, like other communities, is unique in its own way. And I think that our supervisor, she deserves leadership from the community to show her what needs to be done and which direction to go in. And so I think that it would be valuable to her, and certainly it would be valuable to us. I've never missed politicians in my life, not even Bill Clinton. And I have to tell you, I really miss Cacho sometimes. You know, but he'll go on to bigger and better things. But she is an approachable woman, and I think that we should try to work with her as much as possible as individuals. She did discuss doing a town hall meeting, bringing Sheriff Parkinson in, and I'd like to support her in that effort. So, and then I attended another meeting. It wasn't a Brown Act meeting, so I don't know if I should. It was a networking meeting just to kind of meet and greet and with neighboring leaders and boards. I think it was one or two people from each neighboring area. Arroyo Grande had a few people, one city council member, I don't remember. And, of course, Mr. Scholes was there and representatives from PISMO, and I think it was mainly to touch on the drought and to see, touch bases is to see what each neighbors are doing. And so I thought that was pleasant, and if we can continue to have that communication, I think it will be valuable to all. So that was my lazy week. I built a chicken coop. I paid to have it built, okay. So, Mr. Ogren, do you have any committee reports?
Tony is here.
No, I do not. So the next Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting will be in July, and I'll be reporting out on that in August.
And what day is that in July, sir?
I believe it would be July 16th.
Will you be needing your alternate?
No, I will be there.
Well.
Sorry.
Okay. Mr. Maricino, would you like to come up and give your report, sir? Or do you not want to?
Truthfully, I didn't bring it with me. I just got off.
Okay.
I can give you a little update.
Great.
So for this week, we've been really focusing on Well 5 in preparation for Fisher to come out and to pull the well. What that means is we got to get everything disconnected, cleaned up, moved out of the way so they can bring in their crane truck so they can pull this well and video it to see if we can proceed on to ensure the casing is still adequate because it is from 1958. So we're heavily focusing on that right now.
That was a good year, though.
I couldn't tell you. I wasn't here yet.
How deep is Well 5?
Well 5 is 200 feet deep.
Okay.
Yeah. So the pump should be set, off the top of my head, I would say roughly 160 feet.
And that Well 5 work is a collaboration that you and Mr. Ogren did with the DWR for funding on that note?
Yes.
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 Well, I want to applaud you both on that.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for going after that grant money and getting that funded and getting that well tip-top shape in case we ever get any water.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Any questions?
Go ahead.
What class are you taking? We were told you had just come back from school.
A Class A, so I could be pulling the jetter trailer.
So you can drive a truck.
So I can drive the truck and trailer. And continue on to sewer cleaning per our SSMP.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Good luck on that
yes.
on that driver's license.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
I have a question.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add at this time to this?
I wanted to ask Tony a question. It just
okay.
just hit my head. The fire hydrant down on Strand, have
oh,
you
yes.
gotten any information on that? Because I noticed they poured concrete.
What?
Right. In front where the sand was, they pulled concrete, and there's a concrete wall about this tall.
Yes, they did pour a driveway over the weekend.
Yeah.
And we do have pictures of that, and we've turned it over to our general manager.
Okay.
And which emails are going out to the county. We're coordinating with them.
Okay.
Mr. Pavo could probably explain it a little bit better than I.
Is the fire extinguisher still gone?
Buried.
Buried?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Great.
Well, the top is open or available. So we're coordinating with county code enforcement. County Public Works has come out and taken a look at it. And Mario is also posting the property underneath our solid waste ordinance, which covers construction-related debris and earth movement. So it's one of those situations where we have some ability underneath our code to take enforcement action, and yet coordinating with county code enforcement is the other aspect that we're doing ongoing.
Do you have any idea, would that be cleaned up before the 4th of July?
The hydrant will have complete accessibility before 4th of July. The total amount of sand that they moved and relocated, our focus is going to be working with county code enforcement to address the overall situation, but we will have the hydrant completely accessible before the 4th of July.
Okay. Thank you.
They blocked access to a fire hydrant?
They buried it.
Yeah, what appears to be the case is that in their efforts of their construction project, they moved a large amount of sand, including some shrubbery and other, you know, what appears to be natural organic matter, and placed it into the right-of-way that exists, including covering the fire hydrant. So the fire hydrant has been partially uncovered, so that they can take, you know, connect a hose and stuff.
Where did this happen?
Right on Juanita.
Yeah, Strand and Juanita. So it was placing a lot of this excess material in that right-of-way, of which the property owner actually owns about half of that right-of-way. And then the neighboring property owner owns the other half of the right-of-way. It's not part of a county-maintained road system. It's a paper street. But like many properties, the property line actually goes to the middle of the street. So through our code enforcement, we are able to notice property owners. So that's what our initial effort is.
You know, the Five Cities Fire Authority can't put fires out down there if they cannot get to the water and to the houses. And
so
there's already a problem there with getting to the houses.
And we've been coordinating with Five Cities Fire Authority as well
that.
As the submittal. County code enforcement has an online submittal, so not we engaged in emails, including involving Supervisor Compton's office, and Jocelyn Brennan, Supervisor Compton's assistant, is involved in it. So we did the emails, but we also did the formal posting of a potential code violation on the county's website, and emphasize the point about threat to life and property due to this action.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so moving right along, let's go with the consent agenda. I'll take public comment on items that are on the consent agenda. Excuse me. Ms. Tacker.
I only had one thing on the warrant packet, and it was the Class A licensing expense of $4,375. I don't remember if that was budgeted this year, and kind of recall that you had another operator that had gone through the licensing. I understand that person may be leaving the district. I have to make the observation that this expense wouldn't have happened if you hadn't bought such a big jetter and then needed a bigger truck, and just the dominoes that have this has continued Geesland collateral damage. Because trust me, the other districts aren't having Class A licenses for their jetters. That's all I had.
I entertain a motion to
move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Passes 5-0, Ms. Celia. All right. On to 10A. We'll do public comment. Public comment for A and B, 10A, 10B.
And items on committee reports.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So on 10A, maybe Pavel will explain, but I thought the grant was for $121,000, and this budget adjustment's for $164,559. And then the other 10B, the audit. Usually you have the auditor come and give a presentation. I'm sort of surprised that he's not here. With regard to your reports, specifically the sanitation district report and the billing or not billing agreement, because there is no agreement, Ms. Lucy mentioned the Grover Beach warrant also being in the warrant packet. Later in the agenda packet, there was an accounting of the Grover Beach bill and the formula used in which they derived their fee.
What item are you speaking on, Ms. Tucker?
Reports.
Staff reports.
Okay, so the staff reports.
No, these are the director's reports, and in particular the sanitation district report that both you and Mr. Guerrero gave. You mentioned the Grover Beach warrant.
Correct.
And I wanted to explain, and maybe you missed it, but their accounting for their invoice was in their staff report later in the agenda. What still hasn't come from Oceano, and this is what the sanitation district is asking for, is an accounting that gets you to $22,000 a year.
And are you representing the San District tonight?
No, I am a member of the public. I also was at those meetings in 2012 when this was discussed, and Mr. Geislin tried to extort money out of the sanitation district, some $60,000 a year. I have followed this along, and I have a institutional knowledge to what went on there. I also know there was no agreement. I do know that in 2013, Wallace had left. Geislin was still here, a very short window. He tried to bill $6,400-some every 2 months for that year. He had three installments in arrears that he was trying to hit the sanitation district for. When Paul Karp came to the sanitation district, he and Shannon Sweeney made a placeholder of the $22,000 for all three agencies, and that was going to be worked out. The formula would come and the agreements would come, and because there was no leadership and management here or there, it didn't happen. So, if you were interested.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
President Lucy?
Yes.
And just quick response to public comment.
Sure.
As Ms. Tacker made the statement at the end of her comments that there was no formula established, and consequently, I did not have a formula on which to base calculations. What the evidence had provided was that there was a negotiation process, and I did meet with Mr. Sweek, and this is a repeat of our prior meeting with the agenda item, that there was a negotiation process, and the best that the evidence could show was that a lump sum amount was determined of $22,000 per year. Had there been calculations provided to me, I could have followed those formulas. But again, as Ms. Tacker mentioned at the end of her comments, there was no such formula. There was not a written agreement, but the evidence does show that a verbal understanding and a practice was established. So more than willing to, again, work with Mr. Sweet as this issue moves forward. We'll see whether they take action on their July 1st meeting or not.
And I would also correct the record that there was an agreement, no matter how many times you say there wasn't. There was an agreement.
Yeah, a verbal.
Don't yell from the back of the room, please. It's disrespectful to the body.
It is a verbal agreement that is supported by the evidence.
Right.
Okay. So the packet that I saw, Oceano had included some form of a contract and had given a history of payments. And the other two entities had not submitted anything besides
Grover submitted a sheet that had, based upon the Arroyo Grande formula, but there is
right,
no Arroyo Grande formula.
Right, but there's no Arroyo Grande formula. So.
Then we also found out that Arroyo Grande was
so
just withholding
sure
their fees.
So I'm not sure what more Oceano could have done to make people happy. I mean, we just can't falsify this stuff, you know. So I just don't think that there's anything to make people happy.
Well, and on that point, Madam President, your board did have your legal counsel, directed your legal counsel to work with me on the development of a written agreement.
Yeah.
And so that was provided with a notice and an offer to the Sand District. So it was Oceano CSD that initiated the first efforts just recently to actually produce a written agreement for the parties to execute.
Yeah, and I applaud staff for taking the initiative to put something in the Sand District's records and bring them an option to the table, you know. So, but once again, it was criticized, and as Mr. Guerrero said, that that the board chose not to accept it.
Right.
Was that a formal vote or?
No. What happened was there was multiple items on the one particular item, and the motion was made to approve four of them. The fifth would have been. It might have been four. I might be off on the numbers here. But the item that was not motioned to be approved was to approve the contract. So.
And who was the maker of the motion?
Mr. Schultz.
And it was seconded by Mr. Hill?
No, I seconded it. We just moved forward.
Okay. All right. Okay, so Mr. Ogren, take it away.
Madam President, members of the board, this is on item 10A, which has several recommendations associated with the consideration of recommendations to approve a project to rehabilitate well number 5, a budget adjustment in the amount of $164,459, a notice of exemption under the California Environmental Quality Act, a purchase order with Fisher Pump and Well Service in the amount of $8,700, and to designate the general manager as the district's authorized agent to execute grant documents with the State Water Board. Question from public comment regarding the $121,000. Recommendation number 2, more specifically, then says approve a budget adjustment for the project in the amount of $164,450, funded from unanticipated grant revenues in the amount of $121,402. So that's the amount of grants that the state has awarded, and anticipated savings in water fund appropriations of $43,048. So attached is a range of cost estimates. The $164,000 is the conservative cost estimate. The $121,000 is the amount that the state's funding, and the $43,000 then would be the district's local share if the total project cost came in at that amount. And again, that $43,000, I believe, is available from savings in the current year. As a note, anything that's unspent, then is recommendation number 3, would roll over into the final budget next year. And there's a specific word in there that's operative, which is a commitment. So that rollover to the next year as a budget commitment means that only your board can change that budget, use that money. If we have project savings, that project savings cannot be used on any other component of the budget unless it's specifically approved by your board. And so that word commitment has specific meaning there.
Would it be safe to say that that could be considered a reserve?
No, it's rebudgeting, because a reserve, okay. If it was put into reserves, then I'd have to come back to your board to cancel the reserves. It's more analogous to an encumbrance.
Okay.
So it'll roll over to next year.
Thank you.
With respect to Fisher Pump and Well Service, the recommended purchase order of $8,700 plus contingencies not to exceed $10,000 is less than those particular line items in the attached budget. But the important point there is that there is a possibility when the pump is pulled and the video is prepared and reviewed that the well may not be able to be rehabilitated. The age of the well is such that it may not. And that is the event, and that's important information to know. I'll notify the State Water Board. We'll come back to the board and essentially just cap the well, close it off, and abandon the rehabilitation project. So Certainly
is that
this
our first well?
No, I think it's about 50 years old, though. Now, when we recently pulled well number 8 and we had that videoed, we were surprised at the lack of scaling and the lack of any real problems with it. So based on the soil conditions and the hydrology in the region, the well might be fine to be rehabilitated, but based on its age, it may not be able to be rehabilitated. So all the work that we're doing, though, will not be for naught, because if it's the well that can't be rehabilitated, then we should be abandoning it anyhow. And then that's what we'll proceed to do is with the abandonment. But we want to make sure we know that right up front, because the State Water Board grant agreement conditions we get all of this work done. If we can't rehabilitate, you know, then we simply won't be asking for any reimbursements from them. And the local share that we have budgeted will more than cover, you know, any closure capping costs and whatnot. So I want to make sure to express my appreciation for Tony and Jason and Casey for all the prep work that they've been doing out of the yard. And that concludes my staff report. Be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. So we'll know about the well as soon as...
Yeah, our target date right now is for July 8th for Fisher to come out. So.
Okay. Well, if it didn't make it, then we have to give it a proper burial.
That's right.
Nice cap.
I noticed that the timeline, is there any possibility to get it done sooner than October?
No. The timeline itself is a really aggressive timeline for this type of a work effort. There's part of it is once the pump is pulled and we have to evaluate the well, do we have to do rehabilitation? Identifying and ordering a new motor. Do we have to get a new pump? We're going to have to rebuild the pump shed. There's going to be new electrical repiping in the yard. Development of a... So we want to develop a centralized chloramine system to treat all of the wells. And chloramine is the method of treatment at Lopez and State Water. So there's a consistency in treatment there that would be beneficial. So there's a lot. It's a very aggressive timeline, and I would anticipate some of the subsequent actions that we bring to your board for approval will have to fall underneath emergency provisions. The idea of being able to go and complete full plans and specifications and go out to bid and everything else like that, it's just not feasible underneath this type of a work order. Certainly, the CEQA notifications identifies it as an emergency project. The funding source is an emergency project. So being able to appropriately use emergency provisions for the procurement of future services is what we may need to do.
Okay.
But we'll do it as fast as we can.
Yeah, it just seems like if we need it, we're going to need it within the next 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't have any questions, just an appreciation to staff and Pablo for getting this done and procuring this grant and being on top of the maintenance and upgrades of the facilities. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you both very, very much.
Can we do this all in one motion?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
I have a question first.
Okay.
That's okay. Or a couple, actually. I was curious if, as you've gone through this process, if the cost for the project had gone up, and that was why we might need more than the grant was awarded, or did they not award to the extent that we requested?
The range in cost estimates that I developed is the same range of cost estimates that I developed when I initiated my discussions with the State Water Board, probably October, November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly higher than the district's original cost estimates back last summer, about a year ago, when the grant was originally applied for.
Okay. My other question was, in the scope of work, it talks about if the repair costs exceed the amount budgeted in the grant, that there is the possibility of requesting a change in the grant agreement budget. But then later it says that adjustments may not increase or decrease the total grant amount, and I was just making sure that I was understanding that correctly. So you can change it in the line items, but not the actual amount.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I think that. Oh, my last question.
One more?
Yeah, one more. For the special conditions, I noticed that it said that we might need to prepare and complete the revolving fund planning and funding application.
Yes.
I was just curious if you knew why they stuck that in.
I very much do know why they put that in there as a general condition, and that is that in providing grant revenues for Oceano, they want to make sure that Oceano follows up and completes master water planning and the other actions that we need to do to make sure that we keep our infrastructure up or address those other infrastructure issues that we need to address. And what also recently happened, consistent with this, where the the State Water Board within the last year has now become the California Department of Public Health, the drinking water side, is now underneath the State Water Board as well. That was approved about a year ago. And so the State Water Board, which has historically been a stronger enforcement arm of the California as compared to the Department of Public Health, is now on water systems including conditions to make sure that water systems are doing what they need to do. The budget trailer bill that was just signed also included, I believe it was Senate Bill 88, now the State Water Board has the authority to consolidate water districts or water agencies. Mm-hmm. It's part of the growing powers of the State Water Board, where we look now, drinking water is under State Water Board. The legislation last year passed the groundwater legislation that significantly increases the State Water Board's authority over groundwater basins. And as part of the budget trailer bill, the State Water Board gained the authority to consolidate water districts. And so this action or this condition is consistent with this growing influence that the State Water Board has. And for those water districts that don't comply and don't do what they need to do in order to make sure that there's adequate, reliable water for their communities, then they will be at risk of being consolidated into another water agency. Historically, just as I don't anticipate the State Water Board is going to be running at Oceano anytime soon, part of that evolution here is a result of some very bad situations over in the San Joaquin Valley and in the agricultural areas where some of the farm workers were being provided water from wells that weren't meeting water quality standards, and yet local agencies weren't stepping up in order to address it. So, again, this evolution of drinking water underneath the State Water Board and the State Water Board's growing powers in terms of managing or having enforcement actions on water districts is certainly a significant change, and those of us who run water districts need to pay heed to.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Oakland, do you see the budget? How long do you see the audit report being?
Very brief.
Okay, let's do the audit report if everybody's okay with that.
We need a motion.
Did you hear that echo?
We want to vote. I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay.
Fourth.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, roll call. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, roll.
I move motion. Jennifer got there.
Jennifer.
Second. Yeah.
Okay. We're all facilitating tonight.
Yes, indeed. I love consensus.
Director Garrow?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, it passes 5-0. Thank you, Celia. Okay. Now.
President Lucy, members of the board, on the annual audit, June 30th, 2014, it's attached as a receive and file. I have already forwarded it along to the county auditor. We're required every year to provide the county auditor with the audit, and so they're in receipt of it. A lot more work goes into these audits than discussions that follow. The primary thing that we've already spoken about is the issue of the accounting of the original construction of the sheriff building. So I'm not going to belabor that, but we'll be working with the auditor in the upcoming year in order to work through those. And the only other thing that, two other comments. One is worked with the auditor on some of the notes, most specifically State Water Project. It had been previously described as a joint venture. That wasn't correct. So the notes to the financial statements that describe the district's role and relationships in the State Water Project have now been updated and are more reflective of the actual agreements. And then the final reserve numbers that came from the audit, as I had previously mentioned, have now been reflected into the budget documents. And with that, I conclude my comments.
Does anybody have anything they want to say regarding the audit? You know, I have to say is that usually when it's audit time, coming in the office is a little stressful, but I didn't even notice it happening.
We were all smiles.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's still on time.
Yeah. Yep. It's still on time, and it's clean, you know, so.
I have a question.
Okay.
It's my memory, which is sometimes foggy, that we elected not to have the auditing company come make a presentation because of the cost.
That's correct.
Yes.
And most of us can read, so there was really no need for it. Do we want to entertain a motion to accept and file? Are we at
do
that
we
point
one?
Yet?
I don't think. Oh, yeah, we are at that point. Do we need a motion to receive and file? I think, you just call it.
Okay. It's received and filed.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, staff.
Thank you very much. Let us take a 5-minute break. And then we'll come back and do 11A real quick.
Groovy.
Bringing this back to the room. Let's go with 11A, Mr. Ogren.
Actually, I think we usually do that after the staff report. Yeah. Madam President?
Yes.
Madam Members of the Board, again, on item 11, which is consideration of recommendations to adopt resolutions approving the preliminary fiscal year 15-16 budget, preliminary budget, the appropriation limit, which is required by state law, although really doesn't have much effect on Oceano or many of the special districts anymore. And then two relatively minor budget adjustments for the current fiscal year, increasing the appropriations for the fire fund by $1,500 and for the lighting fund for $6,500. And both of those would come from unanticipated revenues. So they're unanticipated property tax revenues. The substance of the budget issues we covered at your prior meeting. I made a few changes based on that direction, but I also made a mistake, a relatively small one. And in meeting with the Finance Committee, they asked me some really good questions. And then, so what we'll note is in the fire fund, we don't have budgeted our last payment that's due for the fire truck. And what I had done is I picked up all the numbers off of the budget that was provided by Five Cities Fire Authority. But this payment for that particular piece of equipment is sort of an off-the-budget type of an item. This is why I missed it. So my recommendation today would still be to approve the budget and approve staff recommendations with just the notation that when I come back with the final budget prior to September 1st, I'm going to refer you to a page number as soon as I get to it. Page 89 of 124, or it's page 7 of 42 on this particular line item, or on this budget. But page 89 of 124 provides a preliminary budget summary. In the very first column of the governmental fund, toward the bottom, it says additions to reserves $4,428. And so what I will intend to do is to confirm with Chief Lieberman on what the actual final payment of that truck is, incorporate it into the final budget, and then I'll be basically canceling this increase in reserves in order to fund that final payment. So the budget's still going to balance. We just won't have that increase in reserves of $4,428. The actual payment might be slightly higher than that, but I can also make a couple other, you know, again, it's going to be within $1,000 or so, other adjustments. So my recommendation for the preliminary budget is to approve staff recommendations and then understand that when I come back with the final budget, I'll make a final adjustment based on confirmation with Chief Lieberman regarding that final payment on the fire truck. Okay. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I first want to commend you for a great budget and for balancing it. You know, in the past, when you're dealing with small amounts, small districts, it's always very, very tight. And you made it happen, and you did it really in a very graceful way. And I want to really applaud you for that and thank you. And for anybody who wants to see the annual proposed budget, keeping in mind this is always where we hope to be through the year. It doesn't always end up exactly that way, but this is our roadmap. So it is online. It is on the website. And if there's anybody who wants to speak in protest of it or anything, they can do that after the board discusses it. Any further? Lori, do you have anything you'd like to add to the budget?
No, discussion? I think it looks good, actually. Easy to read.
Mr. Minery?
At some point before making a motion, I would just remind you to have public comment on this item.
Yes, I will. But I thought I'd just switch it up and do it after director's comments. Anybody else have any comments?
It is what it is.
No, but I still like Cecilia's guy with the underneath the paperwork, remember?
The red tie, yeah.
The red tie. Somebody tried to create drama last year about the red tie. Right. But anyway, no, it was a lot of work, and I thank you, Pavo, for, I know you put significant amounts more work than we did in it, but Ms. Blackburn and I worked with you, and it was a very pleasant process, so thank you.
And it is nice seeing a subcommittee work with staff on such an important issue as the budget and seeing it work in the best possible way. So thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Matt, for taking the lead and leading by example. Do you have anything you'd like to add to it, Jen?
I do not. Thank you.
No?
I will say that I'm looking forward to next year's budget development because during this upcoming fiscal year, we'll be doing the pro forma.
Yes.
And we'll be doing another. So our ability then to really add a higher level of detail to this budget will really be enhanced in this upcoming fiscal year.
And that was discussed in the committee meetings, and we've known that in our planning, that the pro forma is coming up to identify, for those at home that don't know, we're identifying the district resources, lifespan, cost of procuring those, and the costs of replacing those to try to develop a realistic assessment, to try to take a realistic assessment of the needs of the district for infrastructure and strategic planning. And so those will be public hearings, and we look forward to the participation.
Great. Okay, I'll do a public comment on the budget now if anybody has anything they want to add. Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker. And two meetings ago when you looked at the preliminary budget, Ms. Lucy, you characterized this meeting as the big one, and there's no PowerPoint and no big one, so I was kind of taken aback. I thought we would have more detail. I did notice that in your staff note it talks about the $22,000 from the sanitation district, and it occurs to me that if you used the Arroyo Grande formula that Grover Beach is also using yourself, that you could actually back into the number and present some accounting that maybe would get you to the $22,000, and I think it would put all of this to bed. But without that, you're not there. I would like some further explanation as to why we're adopting a preliminary budget and we're not going with the final budget at this time. I understand that you're looking for more numbers, maybe at the close of the year, but what exactly are you looking for? I did not see debt service. I didn't see really making any payments on the some $1 million that you've borrowed internally. And I'm curious if interest is accruing or compounding, and if the debt's getting bigger because you're not paying it. I did not see a backup generator in the budget. I did see Pabo's raise in the budget, and it occurs to me that Tony needs a raise. Now that he's going to have a Class A license, I think you want to hang on to him.
Excuse me, Ms. Tacker, you can speak to the policies and you can speak to the items, but you cannot speak about individuals. You
absolutely can.
No.
I can.
Not in this boardroom.
Us, I can. The Brown Act allows me to say whatever I want, Mary, and I
really
want to say that Tony Marchino, yes, Mrs. White, I can say whatever I want. And I believe Mr. Marachino, I am within the law. Mr. Marachino deserves a raise, and I worry, for the sake of your district, that he could be lured away.
President Lucy, I would remind Speaker to keep comments within the item that's up for discussion on this hearing item,
which is along the budget. And I believe I am, Mr. Minery, I'm speaking to the budget, and that you should budget for more money for Mr. Marachino. I also believe that you're underfunding your legal fund in that you are some $35,000 more than you anticipated spending last year. So that's more money for you, Mr. Minery.
Still a great budget.
Just to address a couple of the comments, Madam President.
Like
funding for the generator is included in the budget. There's a $15,000 line item in order to complete the alternatives analysis. And as mentioned, then we'd come back to your board with final direction on the generator project. So it is included in the budget. With respect to staff salaries under other financial considerations in the board letter, it says the budgets do not reflect salary changes that are subject to the existing meet and confer efforts with SEIU 620. So obviously we also have on the agenda tonight continuing discussions regarding SEIU 620. So once those MOU discussions are completed, then we will have the ability to address those particular items. So the staff report did in fact identify that. And with respect to the debt service and interfund items, during the workshop we talked about the need to reevaluate the sheriff's building, and we know that that's going to have an effect on interfund loan amounts, and we'll be coming back in mid-year then to address that particular issue. So all of these items are either addressed in the staff report or they were addressed during the workshops.
They were indeed. And I want to thank you for taking the time to clarify that for Ms. Tacker. And also I know that the subcommittee also asked these questions in detail and have been discussed quite a bit, because I do read the minutes from those as well. So is there anything else anybody would like to add to supporting the annual budget?
No.
No. Entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Sally, let's do a roll call on this one.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Garrow?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you. It passes 5-0. Full board support. Thank you very much, everybody.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to staff especially.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do public comment on closed session items.
before we go into what?
There's no utility items. 12.
I know. I know there's no utility items. So if you have anything to put on, to speak on closed session, now is probably the time to do it. 13A, B, or C? No? Hearing none? Any received written communications, or should we do that when we come back? We can do it now.
We can do it now if you want.
I don't. Nothing on those items, Madam President.
Okay, no late received hate mail.
Or love letters.
Okay, future agenda items.
Yes. So for our next meeting, July 8th, I'm anticipating an update for your board's actions on the emergency regulations that have been enacted by the State Water Board based on the governor's executive order from April 1st. Also anticipating putting the NCMA annual report on your agenda for July 8th.
Great.
And we'll have a public hearing for items to delinquent bills to be placed on the tax roll.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add to the agenda?
No.
Not at this time.
Okay. Hearing none, we adjourn to closed session.
He's got to do the legals.
All right. Yes.
Board
adjourns to closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District. Item 13B, pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representative as general manager. The employee organization is the Service Employees International Union 620. Item 13C, pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, conference with legal counsel to determine whether to initiate litigation. Number of cases, 1.
Thank you, sir. We'll return to closed session. Yes, we did, didn't we?
Yeah. Weird, but
okay, we're calling this meeting tonight back to order. Mr. Minery, would you like to report on the closed session items 13A, B, and C, sir?
In regards to all those items, there is no reportable action.
Okay. Does anybody have anything they'd like to close on?
I would like to thank Ms. Austin for her thoughtful comments. I know she did go over the allocation tonight, but the support that she expressed tonight is similar to the support I can think of. I've received criticism from two Oceano residents. One was a single time. Another one is a person that may or may not ever be happy. But every other person that I've spoken with, and I speak to Oceano residents on a daily basis, have expressed support for everything this board does. And I thank Ms. Lucy for her leadership. It's a pleasure to be here with you as board president.
I thank you. Me too. I think it's great. I think the town would let us know, and they have let us know in the past.
Right. I sat here with the rakes and pitchforks.
When our water rights were being stolen out from underneath us, showed up in force. So I felt very honored that Ms. Austin came tonight and spoke those kind words.
She's a very charming person, a real pillar in the community.
She really, truly is. And
her whole family.
Else have anything else? On that note, I'm going to adjourn this meeting.
9:12.
So have a safe fireworks in Oceano.